Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. We have newly minted Constructors Champions. McLaren has officially done it back to back. I'm so happy for and proud of this team, just incredibly well-deserved, and they really should just bask in all of the praise. I think if we think about where this era started with Red Bull dominance, it's incredibly impressive and I think rare for a different team who was not really in much of the conversation in sort of this early era to come back and be so dominant in the later years of it. So really proud of them and just super excited. I will, of course, get into the discussion of why instead of all of the online discourse being about the excitement and the pride and all of that, it's more focused on papaya rules, driver favoritism, and the drama in the other championship, the Drivers' Championship. But we'll get to that. Let's get into the Singapore night race. It's always a bit of a tough one with the heat and humidity. Drivers can lose multiple kilos in this race. It was not the most exciting race, in my opinion. I'll get to this, a little spoiler alert for my LVP, but I think the broadcast like missed some of the exciting moments of this race, and I think that was a bit of a bummer. But this was round 18 of 24, so we're definitely rounding the corner here in the back half of the season. It's the one track on the calendar that Max Verstappen has not won, so all eyes were on him coming into this weekend, especially with the question of whether he might still keep the Drivers' Championship dream alive. Unfortunately, he will have to wait another year to try and tick this race off as a win, but good for George Russell. I'm wearing my Mercedes hat to support, and I will, of course, get into the discussion of George and where in the world his contract might be, but super happy for Mercedes, and they're definitely making some dents in that Constructors' Championship from the second onwards point of view. Let's get into some news. First, unfortunately, this week started with the very, very sad news of Roscoe Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton's bulldog, passing away at 12 years old. It just was so sad and heartbreaking to see. I think anyone who has ever had a pet knows and understands the amount of joy and importance that something like that brings to your life. And I can only imagine, especially for drivers like this, where they're traveling constantly, they're not often home. Like the piece of home for them is a pet. And so for Lewis, Roscoe was by his side for 12 years. And, you know, it sounds silly to say like an animal is a best friend, but really I think there's a lot of truth and validity to that. And so I can only imagine the headspace that Lewis was in coming into this weekend, and honestly just impressed with what he was able to do despite, I'm sure, the emotions and the feelings that he was going through this entire time. So very sad, but he lived a very happy and long life, and a lot of people have been talking about the Rainbow Bridge and, you know, where pets kind of go to when they cross over, and that's a happy thought. So rest in peace, Roscoe. You brought a lot of joy to us all, and we miss you. Not a lot of other news this week. Esteban Ocon fronted a Forbes piece, which was really exciting to see another driver kind of step into the Lando Norris, Lewis Hamilton type mold. As a reminder, Lando did his British Vogue shoot, so it was kind of cool to see Esteban do that. It was for Forbes France, but recommend checking out those photos and reading more about it because I thought that was a good piece. But let's jump into race weekend. Practice was a little chaotic with the weather. We had a lot of offs and things like that, but for quali, for Q1 out, we had Bortoleto, Stroll, Colapinto, Ocon, and Gasly. Gasly had a technical issue and had to pull off at the end, which was unfortunate. Hamilton actually topped the Q1 timesheet, so pretty exciting for him going into this quali and this race weekend. Ollie Bearman was another highlight in Q1. He got P8 while Ocon was knocked out, so good for him to outperform Esteban. And the one other thing I laughed at in Q1 was Stroll's radio saying that it's so unbelievable that it always goes bad. And this was just the start of a weekend trend of the Aston Martin radios really giving us life and breathing life into this race weekend that was less exciting from a racing perspective. So I'll definitely get into that. But that was the beginning of the end for their radios. For Q2 out, we had Hülkenberg, Albon, Sainz, Lawson, and Tsunoda. Berman made it to Q3 for only the third time this season, so start of a good weekend for him. We had Sparkles back for this race. Probably it didn't work its magic this time around with Sainz out in Q2, Albon out in Q2, and then also we will get to the disqualification. But I did like how Rebecca, Sainz's partner, brought a sort of Labubu-esque thing of unicorn on her bag to the race, which was fun to see. Sparkles continuing its presence. For Q3, big highlight, obviously, was George Pohl. He set just an amazing early lap, and no one could really catch him except himself. He improved his time only by, I think, 7,000ths or 700ths or something of a second. Max was close, but he bailed out of his last flying lap because Norris was a couple of seconds ahead of him, and there was some dirty air there. Max was really frustrated and mad about this. I guess Norris did get out of the way. There was nothing to be penalized for Norris, but I think Max was just frustrated that there was dirty air in front of him. For the front two rows, we had George and then Max and then Oscar and Kimi. Lando, who made a mistake, had P5, then Lewis, Charles, Isaac, Ollie, and Alonso. They did a three-at-a-time post-quali interview, which was kind of awkward, mainly due to Max just continuing to talk and sort of whisper and almost gossip, it seemed like, with Oscar and George next to him mid-interview. Like, I couldn't tell if he just didn't know the camera was on him or if he just didn't care and was sort of over the whole thing. But yeah, it was kind of funny. And then David Coulthard, who was doing the post-race interview or the post-quali interview, when Max was complaining about the car 2 seconds in front of him, David Coulthard asked, like, who was it? And Max goes, not Oscar. Just kind of funny. Max was just being a little sassy and complaining. But the big news after quali was that both Williams cars had a technical infringement with their rear wing. I think it was their DRS. So they were relegated to the back of the grid for the race. So speaking of the race, Albon and Gasly started from the pit lane. Carlos started last because of that disqualification from quali. Most of the cars started on mediums, except notably Max Verstappen started on softs, which just didn't really end up working well for him. So he pitted pretty early onto hards. But on the start, George had a great launch, and so did Lando, who started P5, made up 2 positions immediately, but not without drama. He and Oscar made contact, and Oscar got on the radio immediately and was like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't very team-like, but sure. And then later said, so are we cool with Lando just barging me out of the way, or like, what's going to happen here, basically? And the team then came on the radio and said, no further action from the stewards, and no action as a team, to which Oscar said, I'm sorry, but that's not fair. And so my thoughts on that contact and the way the team handled it, kind of twofold. I do think it was a racing incident. I think Lando was going for a gap, maybe was a little clumsy, might be the right word here, with where he positioned the car. But I do think it was a racing incident. He was just racing hard. That said, I think Oscar did deserve to question that, and I understand why he was frustrated. I think what I would have appreciated is the team getting on the radio to Lando and saying something along the lines of, like, remember how we go racing, or whatever they typically say and have said to Oscar. I don't think it warranted a switchback, and I think that would have been very frustrating to see as a fan, and it would have felt a little bit of like a manipulation, because I'm honestly happy and relieved to see Lando being hungry, because as the commentator said, and I kind of agreed when they said this, a lot of the time, Lando seems kind of content enough coming second behind Oscar, and he'll just be kind of hard on himself, and he'll be very polite about, oh, I just wasn't fast enough or didn't do the right things. And he's hard on himself, but like not enough where he's like taking really big risks and racing really hard. And so I think to some degree, there's a world championship on the line here. And I didn't feel like there was any malice or intent in Lando's move besides racing hard. And the stewards agreed with that. There was no penalty. It was just a racing incident. So it was kind of up to the team to decide what to do with it. And I do feel for Oscar on that a little bit, where it feels like the team has put them in this position where they're letting the drivers kind of like air it out on the radio, complain, argue their case. And it just feels a little frustrated. And I know a lot of Oscar fans feel that the team is showing a lot of favoritism towards Lando, which I don't think it's that blatant. Like, I do think McLaren is just sort of like contorting themselves into these weird positions to try and be as fair as possible. And that ends up coming off as uneven sometimes because like they don't apply the rules consistently, which feels weird And so maybe that's kind of where this like Lando favoritism feeling is coming from. But at the core, I really don't think that the team is favoring Lando or intending to do so. I think there are a lot of memes out there about how, you know, Lando is Zach Brown's golden child and he hates Oscar Piastri. Like, I don't think any of that is true, but I do understand why Oscar and Oscar fans are frustrated with the way things are going. Later, Oscar did come on and say he was talking about how it's so much fun. They have no idea. And his race engineer had to come on and tell him, like, there are a lot of good points on the table here. Like, let's keep our eye on the prize. And in my mind, it's kind of a shame that the conversation around McLaren is really having to center around this kind of stuff rather than just being so excited and proud that they've won the championship. Like, what I do think is that this might set the stage for more aggressive racing now that they're only 22 points apart in the Drivers' Championship and there are only 6 races left. With this decision, I feel like it's McLaren saying, like, okay, we're going to let you guys race. Oscar's emotions seem to be coming out a little bit more, and I'm sensing that he's a little bit more frustrated. So maybe they're just going to race each other harder and see what happens and hopefully not take each other out. But yeah, I'm kind of excited to see the battle in the last 6 races in this season. But moving on from that incident, so George, who had a great start, kind of pulled away from Max pretty early. He was already 5 seconds ahead by lap 10. Max was the first of the top runners to pit just because those softs were not working well for him. He pitted around lap 24 hards and went to the end of the race on those. They did ask Lando if it was okay at one point for Oscar to pit first. And this was like very reminiscent of the Monza situation. And then Lando said yes on the radio, but then he said no kind of immediately after. So the commentators were confused. We were all confused of like, okay, who's actually going in first? Lando did go in pit first because he was running ahead of Oscar. And this was a bit of a role reversal situation where Lando had a crisp 2.1 second pit stop and then Oscar had a 5.2 second pit stop. Luckily, Oscar didn't lose track position to Leclerc on this, but this was tough for McLaren. And it's kind of crazy. Like a team at the top of their game, they've just won constructors. The number of pit stop mistakes that they've had in the past several races is almost mind-boggling. It's like, what in the world is going on? You know that this is embarrassing on the world stage to be having bad pit stops. So like, I assume they're doing a lot of practice. Like, why do we keep having these sorts of issues? It's not the same person who keeps making the mistake. So it's just like, y'all need to get it together a little bit more. Hajar had engine issues, which was unfortunate. Max was also dealing with braking issues, which Lewis also was dealing with at the end of the race. Despite the fact that there were a lot of like technical woes, we didn't have any DNFs or anything that caused people not to be able to finish the race. The one kind of like iffy moment was Hülkenberg spinning off on lap 45, which looks like it could have been a DNF, but he was able to turn it around and keep going, which was a pretty impressive save. But in the end, yeah, not the most exciting race. George had a 5+ second win. It was his 5th career victory, his 2nd this season. So exciting for him. Behind him, we had Max P2, Lando P3, Oscar P4, and Kimi P5. Sainz climbed back up into the points in P10, and Ollie Bearman had a sneakily great race in P9 as well. So those were some of the highlights. But of course, we have to talk about the Aston Martin situation in those radios. So for our radio of the week, my radio of the week was Fernando Alonso, none other than. He said, there were a lot to choose from, but I think my favorite was, if you speak to me every lap, I will disconnect the radio. It's just, it's so classic Fernando Alonso. He did drive from P10 to P7. He earned driver of the day, I guess, for making up 3 places, but really for the entertainment of it all. There was a hilarious radio too, where he was talking about how trophy for the hero of the race, which is just like, Alonso, what? He did have a 9.2 second pit stop, so managed to still climb 3 places with a 9 second pit stop. That's like 3+ pit stops combined, which brutal. And then the other sort of Alonso incident was Hamilton. He was behind Hamilton, lost his brakes in the last like 1 to 2 laps. And Alonso was swearing on the radio like 50 times being like, what in the world is going on? Why is he driving like this? It's crazy. Hamilton was like having to cut every corner. So that was a bit wild, but yeah, those were some of the main race highlights. I think in terms of questions and discussion points I have from this one, number one for me is is the McLaren dominance fading? And it's a little bit of a weird question to ask and kind of ironic to be asking it the day that they've just won back-to-back constructors. And of course, we only have 6 races left. The sun is setting on this era of regulation. So to be honest, it doesn't really matter if their dominance is fading, except for the Drivers' Championship. Like, if they really are going to be finishing behind Max and George or Mercedes, or God forbid the Ferraris pull it together, if the McLaren drivers continue to sort of not be at the top of their game and that car not perform as well as it has at the beginning of the season, it just feels like it's starting to feel like a trend. Mercedes and Red Bull outqualifying them this weekend, also outperforming them in the race. Like, I don't really know what's going on. And part of me wonders, of course, there's like the mechanics of the car. Has the development race like worked in their favor compared to other cars? Obviously, those are questions on the table, and some tracks are suited to the McLaren car better than others. But part of me wonders if the environment at McLaren is just like not super conducive right now to either driver performing at their best. And that's a tough thing to ask for a team that is vying for a driver's championship for one of their drivers. And I don't know, I hate to even like question that, but it just feels really hard for both drivers to have to like argue their case on the radio. There's a lot of complaining going on. Like, how do you keep in the right headspace when it feels like you're having to work against your team, or at least constantly promote your case? I just feel like we haven't had that many seasons where we are talking about team orders or papaya rules so much. Like, of course, team orders comes up as a debate and a topic of conversation. It's always a little bit controversial when it happens, but it just feels like every race we're having to talk about this. And maybe that's natural when it's a team who has 2 top drivers vying for a driver's championship, where we're literally one race away from the tide turning and it being in favor of Lando. But yeah, it just feels like a little bit of a strange situation. It kind of brings me to my second question of there's a lot of discord and of course memes online about how Lando is the favorite child and Lando favoritism is rampant and Zach Brown absolutely loves Lando. I kind of addressed this earlier where I said I really don't think that is the case, but I do think that Oscar might be starting to feel that way, at least judging from the fact that he's showing more of his emotions. It just makes me feel like he might kind of feel that way internally. Obviously, we don't know what is happening behind closed doors when they're having these team conversations and having to, you know, discuss the incidents during the race, the incidents, might I add. So I don't know what's happening behind closed doors. And I sort of wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt earlier in the season of like, yeah, there's all this discourse online about favoritism and team orders and Oscar's totally happy or whatever. Like, I wanted them to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's feeling harder to do that now, especially with Oscar showing more of the frustration. It's pretty out of character for him to say some of the things that he said this race. And I do think he's right to feel frustrated, but I also, on the flip side, you have to be dominant enough to make this more difficult to be in this situation in the first place. You got to be like really outqualifying your teammate. You got to be aggressive on the start and try to avoid putting yourself in a position where you're side by side with your teammate. And of course, Lando is pushing and trying to do that. He's the underdog right now, but I do feel like I want to see just a little more fire maybe from Oscar Piastri. And I don't know if that's a fair thing to say, but I think I crave a little bit of that. Like, I want to see his dominance, so to speak, if he's got it in him.
Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating, reduce sugar cravings, help you feel satisfied longer, boost energy, and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire order with code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
Next big question, George, where in the world is that contract? It feels like it's long overdue. We're way past silly season. Mercedes hasn't announced either of their seats. I presume they're sticking with George and Kimi, especially with results like this weekend where George won and Kimi was top 5. Like, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't sign either of them, but it just feels a little strange that it hasn't happened yet. But I don't know, maybe this is more leverage for George to make a couple more million dollars and, I don't know, have a little bit more bargaining power. I would assume the contract is done and dusted. Maybe they just haven't announced it yet, but it does feel weird that it hasn't been announced. Maybe it's just the fine print that still needs to be worked out. But I don't know, in my opinion, I'm like, George, get that back, King. Keep winning races and keep showing them that you're underrated and nobody seems to give you the credit that you deserve. So keep it up. That brings me to my MVP. Got to give it to George. I mean, again, he has had two great weekends in a row. In Monza, he was super sick, came back on the podium. Singapore, really hard physical race and just was able to kind of turn it around and be dominant. Perfect weekend. He had pole, fastest lap, win. So really great for him. Sneakily, I'll give it to Ollie Berman as well. He had a great race and I think outperforming Esteban Ocon both in quali and in the race and doing what he's doing in that car right now, or at least this weekend. Proud of him. The LVP of the race, I kind of alluded to this in the beginning, was just, I feel like the broadcast missed a lot of the excitement. And yes, it wasn't the most exciting race of all time, but I feel like the broadcast didn't do us any favors in terms of making it more exciting. Like, we missed the Hamilton Alonso battle at the end, the last two laps. You have a driver who has literally lost his brakes and you have this driver swearing on the radio a million times. Why did we not get much of that action? We didn't get much on Williams or the Carlos comeback. Carlos fought from P18 to the points, finishing in P10. We missed the Antonelli-Leclerc battle. Like, there was a lot of stuff that I feel like we didn't really get eyes on, which I was kind of bummed about. But yeah, normally I would say like the Aston Martin radios, but I actually feel like they were just kind of, they were kind of tea and I liked them. So for the standings, we have Oscar Piastri, P1, 336, Norris, 314, Verstappen, 273, Russell, 237, Leclerc, 173, Hamilton, 125, Antonelli, 88, Albon, 70, Hadjar, 39, and Hülkenberg, 37. Oscar is only ahead by 22 points. Max has closed the gap slightly to 41 behind Lando and 63 behind Oscar. So he's still kind of in the realm of possibility, but I know he really needs to be winning races if he wants to have a real shot at this. So I guess it's kind of funny and ironic that George is the one who kept him from, who kept Max from winning this race. I absolutely loved the Mercedes Red Bull official collaboration post of like Max and George dancing together. It's like, here's your starting front row. Like, these two have so much beef in history. I just kind of love that these teams are playing into it and just making memes of themselves. I couldn't believe it wasn't a meme account when I actually saw it and like clicked on the profiles. For constructors, McLaren has officially won it, sealed the deal with 650 points. Behind them, Mercedes 325, Ferrari 298, Red Bull 290, Williams 102, Racing Bull 72, Aston Martin 68, Kick Sauber 55, Haas 46, and Alpine 20. This was an important race in the constructors' battle for Mercedes. The fact that Red Bull is only 8 points behind Ferrari is kind of insane considering Max is single-handedly carrying that team and scoring points. Good for him. Next race in 2 weeks is Austin. I will be there. I have a little bit of a strange schedule for Austin. I'm going to be there Tuesday, Wednesday. I have to be back at school in California Thursday, Friday, but I will be back Friday night in Austin through the weekend. So yeah, a little bit of a crazy flying back and forth situation for me, but there are things that I cannot miss earlier in the week and of course want to be there for the weekend. So stay tuned. I will hopefully find time to do a meetup. My schedule is still a little bit in the air and I'm trying to nail down some final planning things with timing, but stay tuned on socials if you are going to Austin, and I will do my best to try to find a time on Saturday at the track as we usually do. But I can't wait to hopefully see some of you in Austin, and I cannot wait to be there. I think this is my fourth time going to Austin, which is exciting. It's like it feels like home at this point to some degree, as much as a Formula race weekend can feel like home. But it's definitely the race I've been to most, and I'm always excited to go back to COTA. So excited for that. Now, quickly to dive into the F1 Academy weekend. This is their second to last weekend, which was an exciting one. There was possibility for Dorian to win the championship, although it was a tall order here. I think she had to outscore Maya by 22 points or something like that across the weekend, which was tough. But for the first race, it was the reverse grid race. Leah Block on pole, it was a great start from Aurelia Nobles. A lot of cars went off track in that first corner. Nicole Haverda, unfortunately, lost it on lap one, which caused a restart, and she was out. Then Leah had an amazing restart. She really pulled away. A couple other main events during the race, Alicia Palmaski had contact with the wall, so she was out as well, which was kind of a rare misstep from her. Lisa Billard, the wild card, had a great qualifying, but she unfortunately had to retire with smoke on the car. Ella Lloyd also got a 5-second time penalty for leaving the track and gaining an advantage, but really the main exciting talking point was Leah Block's first win in F1 Academy. Her race engineer, after she won, was like, "You're a rally and formula winner," which is just, I think, really encapsulates a lot of it. Like, Leah has been through so much in her life, and she's a rally driver at heart, but to come in and sort of feel like an underdog in a lot of cases, having to adapt, carry this legacy of her father, Ken Block, who's an amazing off-road rally driver, is just so cool. And having met her mom is just, I think it makes it all the sweeter for me, because I got to see her in the Netherlands when Leah got her first podium. And then so to follow that up with a win in F1 Academy, I can only imagine how Lucy was feeling, Leah's mom at that time. But they really are just the nicest family. And I'm so proud of Leah and so happy for her. In P2 was Maya Vogue, and then Chloe Chambers P3. So that was the podium. I loved seeing Jamie Chadwick celebrating on the pit wall. She's part of the Williams family, so you could see just how much it meant to Jamie, to Leah, to everyone. So really exciting. Race 2, we had some light rain partway through the race. Maya was on pole, but Dorian passed her off the start, which was a big move for her and important for the championship, but that was reversed, as I will get to. Leah had a front lockup, sadly, which relegated her to the back. Nicole Haverda, unfortunately, had another crash, DNF'd again, and she was quite disappointed with that. There have been quite a few DNFs from her this season, which is unfortunate to see. That caused a safety car that didn't end until the final lap, basically lap 13 of 14. So there was a safety car restart, and then Maya had a crazy pass of Dorian on the last lap. She was super late on the brakes. She was on slick tires in the rain in a wet area, which is just kind of shows how on the edge she was. Really impressive. And her radio at the end was like, "Maybe I shouldn't be scared of the rain," which is funny, because if you think about it, a lot of these drivers, these F1 Academy drivers, haven't really had much experience racing in the rain. Like, it's a hard thing to do, especially if you don't have experience, which is like the number one most important thing in racing in the rain. So yeah, impressive from Maya on that front. So the podium was Maya, then Dorian, then Ella Lloyd, which was great, especially after the 5-second penalty in race one for her. But this means that the championship is staying alive through Vegas, which is their last race weekend. So very excited to have the action continue. I think it's going to be an action-packed weekend. Of course, the Hello Kitty announcement has already been made, and they'll be having a Hello Kitty grandstand. So hopefully there will be a lot of people coming out to support F1 Academy in Vegas. But yeah, that's all for this week. I'm super excited for Austin, and there's going to be a lot to chat about. So we'll chat soon.